This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Welcome to Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, with David Bizarre, Karen Bizarre, and Brett Elam from Thrive Financial Services, who have been featured on Fox, ABC, NBC, The Wall Street Journal, and more. Saving for retirement is a great start, but it's what you do with this money that really matters. What's your strategy to reduce taxes, generate income in retirement, reduce your risk, and get even more from Social Security? This is where you can count on straightforward and objective advice about how you can make your money go a lot further in retirement. Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show. Now, here are your hosts, David, Karen, and Brett, along with Joe Krause.
Another edition of Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show with David Bizarre, Karen Bizarre, and Brett Elam. Welcome in, everyone. Settle in. If we were leading you into a sports program, David, I would tell everyone to sit back and get the popcorn. You're going to educate the listening audience today.
Not beers and hot dogs?
Not beers and hot dogs. Sit, relax, maybe a cup of tea.
Yeah, it's a little early, right?
A little early. Yeah, cup of tea and learn. It's going to be a good show today.
Yeah, we got a great show lined up. So good morning to you, Joe. Good morning to our listening audience. Glad to be here today. We're really excited. I will tell you, Joe, we must have hit a heck of a nerve last week on the show. We got so many phone calls, so many people. And again, it wasn't our intention to, you know, create panic or anything like that, but every day something is getting put out into the press that we can read about the new tax proposals, the changes that are being made. And, you know, for us, you know, I think collectively sitting in this room, it's probably 75 years of collective experience. We have never seen anything like this before. We just have, we're, you know, each one of us walks out of our office into somebody else's office and said, did you hear this? Did you see this? So, you know, we're working really, really hard here with our team. And remember, our team is comprised of CPAs, chartered financial planners, chartered financial consultants, and people with lots of experience. And we're constantly trying to see and anticipate what's coming up, what can we do about it. So again, last week, our intention was not to scare people, but to make awareness and really prompt you to give us a call to get that conversation started and saying, like, Joe, on Thursday night, I was up at the William Penn Inn, had a fantastic seminar that night. And, you know, we were discussing a lot. It was just a really open dialogue, people asking questions, really a great time. And people are worried. You know, people are like, well, do I do something now? Can I wait till after the year? And again, remember, I mean, we're in September, we're getting close to October. The time, right, the clock is ticking because you can make decisions and then you can act on those decisions, but you only got till 12/31 to do that, right? This, if you want to make changes for the time that you pay your taxes on April 15th of next year, you got to make those decisions by 12/31 of this year. And that means get yourself the information, get your time in to evaluate and see if it's appropriate, ask your questions, get your answers, and then take action. Because the one thing that can kill you is procrastination. Yeah. So if you're interested, you want to find out what's going on, give us a call at 215-798-9088. Now, what I want to cover real quick, and this came up during our workshop on Thursday night, a lot of questions because there's a lot of potential changes coming down the pike related to IRAs, 401ks, Roth accounts. People started asking questions about, well, if I don't end up spending all my money in retirement and I want to leave to my beneficiaries, what do I got to be thinking about? So I want to bring up a word. It's a Latin phrase, right? And that is per stirpes. Per, P-E-R, stirpes, S-T-I-R-P-E-S. So what is this funny word, right? What does it mean? And is it right for you? Well, per stirpes, and we're all going to talk about this, is a classification of your beneficiaries, and it dictates who and when people will get that money paid to them as a beneficiary. So choosing per stirpes or the other option, and I would tell you, if this is the first time you're hearing this, that means if you're working with a financial advisor, it's a big issue. If you're working with an insurance agent, right, you have to designate a beneficiary. And if they didn't give you guidance at that particular time, again, ask the questions, get the answers, take action, right? Because choosing per stirpes or the other option per capita might be one of the most important financial decisions that you're ever going to make, right? Now, if your eyes are kind of glazed over, I'm going to kind of go through some simple explanations about it. And go check your IRAs, go check your insurance policies, go check anything where you've named a beneficiary and find out, did I do it right? Now, Brad, how many times do you see when we're reviewing things, there's a challenge that people don't even know that this option, this decision exists?
That's absolutely correct. And what's, you're getting ready to cover it, where people might have a little bit of agita when you're done with this segment, is if you don't make the decision, which decision is actually chosen of why. I'm so glad you're bringing this topic up to light, because I don't even know if we've actually chatted about this in the last 4 years, but listen, I hope our listening audience is loud and clear listening, because this is, as David said, probably one of the biggest decisions that you have to cover to ensure that you have clarity, because you'll be turning over in your grave if your money's going somewhere you did not intend for it to go to.
I can emphatically say that we've never spoken about this topic because I listen intently to every conversation. We have never addressed it.
And it's an option on some of our paperwork when we're doing it.
Completely.
Yeah. How do you want to leave it? And then they ask, do you want to leave it per stirpes? That's something else. Yeah, we know what it is.
And the problem is it's normally blank, but wait till David goes through what the normal default is if you don't choose it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to die at some point in the future, right? It's hard to be the bearer of bad news, but it's part of life. It's going to happen. And you're going to die with or without per stirpes, right? So it's safe to say if you're listening to the show right now, you're still kicking and breathing, but that's not going to last forever. So as a financial planner, we think that you should plan for this occasion, which we call dying. I know it sounds heartless, Megan, you know, we're not being, you know, sensitive about the situation.
Insensitive.
What did I say?
You said sensitive. You're not being insensitive.
Okay, honey. Joe?
The smile on our faces.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, we're just smiling again.
You are a very sensitive person. I want people to know it.
Thank you, honey. Well, that's a good recovery on your part.
That was
more.
Good job.
Yeah,
there.
That's very good. So planning for this death is incredibly thoughtful, and it will help you to minimize stress for your family. So setting up beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts is really, really important. So what are the different retirement accounts? Well, we got SEP IRAs, we have traditional and Roth 401ks, we have traditional and Roth 403bs, we have traditional and Roth 457s, we've got 401a accounts, and the list goes on. So if you heard anything, that designation that I just talked about from a numeric value, you have a retirement account, and you must make a choice there. If it's left blank, there's a problem, because you're not giving instruction of where the money could go, and it may end up not where you want it to be. Also, and we'll talk about this at a later time, if it's not structured correctly, it could end up in probate, and that's not something you want to have happen. So now most married couples tend to opt for their spouse to be the primary beneficiary. Now, if you do that, it means your spouse gets the money in your retirement account when you pass away. This scenario is very, very commonplace. So if you're married and you don't assign your spouse as primary beneficiary, you will likely need some special paperwork to actually make that possible. What that means, and this is where, you know, it could cause a little tension, is your spouse may need to sign a notarized document that says he or she is okay with not being the primary beneficiary on your retirement accounts. All right. So that's important. Now, if you're married with kids It tends to be that the kids are contingent beneficiaries. Now, my, you know, as you know, your children will be contingent, meaning if you both pass away, then the money's going to go to them as beneficiaries. So now let's quickly jump into per stirpes versus per capita. And this is really kind of the final consideration when setting up your beneficiary designations, is whether to elect which of the two, per stirpes or per capita. So let me give you a scenario. Consider a grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter. In most cases, when the grandmother dies, her money goes to her daughter. However, if the daughter dies before the grandmother, the money earmarked for the daughter would not make it to the granddaughter. Okay? That may make the granddaughter pretty sad. More importantly, it may make the grandmother sad that her intentions were not carried out. Now, instead, if the grandmother elects per stirpes and her daughter dies before her, the money would go straight to the granddaughter. That's made possible by electing per stirpes. All right? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So that's important. Now, the daughter and son, let's say we have a different scenario. Let me see if I can find one. So the daughter and son are listed as 50-50 beneficiaries on the grandmother's $1 million retirement account. So if grandma gets run over by a reindeer tomorrow, each would receive $500,000. However, if the daughter gets run over first, per capita, the other option, if per capita was chosen by default, the $500,000 earmarked for the daughter will go to the son. The son would have $1 million in his pocket, and the granddaughter would be left with nothing. So you can now see, and that's just the start of it. I wanted to make sure we got that out to the listening audience, that that decision is really important. If you think you need help determining what's the best way to do it, give us a call at 215-798-9088. Ask us to talk to you about per stirpes or per capita.
Good stuff, good start to Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, as we come to you on this day. Back in a moment. And back here on Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, along with David Bazaar, Karen Bazaar, and Brett Elam. Boy, sometimes I wish the conversation in between breaks was under a hot mic that was actually going out to the public, because when we go to break, I start asking more questions and I start running a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the listening audience actually isn't back for the beginning of a segment, because now they're grabbing all their forms saying, which did I choose? And this is such an important thing that we talk about as part of when our clients come in, and as part of the Thrive Retirement Roadmap, do the beneficiary review. Because, again, these 401ks, IRAs, you may have the best estate documents that are out there, but as David shared, IRAs, 401ks, life insurance, doesn't matter what those estate documents say. It's who is the listed beneficiary on that document. I don't know if somebody picked up the word that David said, by default. He said by default, per capita is the one that is chosen, which, again, if you remember what that is, my two kids are the beneficiaries. If one of my kids predeceases me, that other part goes to the remaining child. The grandchildren of my deceased child gets nothing. I know so many times when people come in here, they absolutely, positively do not want that to happen, but they don't understand, because whether they're doctoring themselves and trying to do it on their own, or the advisor that they be working with aren't even having these conversations. I mean, I must think of today's topics, and we're going to jump to Karen. Today's decisions are significant, especially before you pass away, because you can't fix them once they're done. So I hope everyone really is passionate in understanding that difference between per stirpes and per capita. So let's jump in and talk about another important decision that must be made today, and well before you pass away. So
yep. So I'm going to jump into this now. Start off with pensions a little bit. Remember, look, few retirees today, pensions aren't as relevant, but it's a big reason why, since we don't have pensions, it's a big reason why people are worried about outliving their money. Pension access and availability dropped significantly after 1978, after the introduction of the 401k as an option for retirement savings. So if you combine pension availability decreases with the increases in life expectancy, you can see the troubles that this can cause. So this massive shift in retirement planning has left many Americans much more concerned about the possibility of outliving their savings. So I'm going to jump into it, discussing the concerns of outliving your retirement savings. Again, we talked about a lot, but if you have a pension, right? If you have a pension, there are things to think about. And if you don't have a pension, then what do you do? So I'm going to discuss both topics. What we do here at Thrive is we meet with people on a basis. We come in and you start asking questions. We ask you questions as well as you was asking us questions. One of the questions we ask is, do you have a pension? So these are some things that people sometimes forget to consider. They're like, yes, I have a pension. And they're very happy and proud that they have a pension. I encourage you to look at the Klein. Google this, Kline, K-L-I-N-E, Miller, Multi-Employer Pension Act. Is that right, Brett? David?
Pension Reform Act.
Pension Reform Act.
That's exactly
Just
it.
Google it. This is true information, I'm telling you. That was one of those things decided in the middle of the night. A lot of people didn't know about it, but some companies have the option if they're not fully funded, their pension funds aren't fully funded. They have the option to reduce your pension amount. So the amount you may have been expecting may not be what you're getting. If you're already collecting, they have the ability to reduce that pension amount. So that's something to check out when you get off the, when you're done the show today. Survivor benefit options, very important. You have to choose this depending on you can leave your spouse 50%. You can leave your spouse 0%. You can leave them 60%. Survivor benefit option is very important. Take a look at your pension now. Don't wait till 1 week before you're retiring to make that decision. It's a decision that you have to really think about. Another option is, can you take a lump sum from your pension amount? So important. Basically, pensions are annuities. So if you have the option of taking a lump sum now instead of collecting your pension, you think, why would I want to take a lump sum? Here's why you want to take a lump sum. What if you don't have somebody to leave your pension to? You'd start your pension, 6 months down the road, you pass away. All that money's gone. If you took a lump sum, you'll now have an asset that you can leave to your beneficiaries. And if you don't have beneficiaries, it can be a charity, whatever you want to do with it. But people say, but I want my pension. I want that guaranteed income. Well, guess what? Here at Thrive, if we help you get that lump sum, we can also help you build your own pension, which is in your own control, and you can make your own decisions with that money. Again, I encourage you, look into that now. Don't wait until you're retiring next week to make that decision. Because once you make a pension decision, you can't go back on it. You're stuck with it. And we have seen, unfortunately, some mistakes made already when people come in. But also, we can correct future decisions. We can help them with future decisions. We have couples that have multiple pensions. So it's something that you need to think about.
You know, one of the things we see very routinely, because people don't tend to get a lot of information. It's hard to find out from HR departments, and financial advisors don't always understand how pensions work. But we've seen it where what Karen was talking about is you've got different options for what's called your survivor benefits. And if you take 100% survivor benefit, what that means is that your spouse, when you pass away, will receive 100% of that monthly amount that you were being paid for the rest of their life. Then if it's 50%, they get 50% of it, but it's a higher number. If you take 100%, it's going to be a lower monthly amount. You take 50%, it's going to be higher. So some people automatically default because they want to see the biggest monthly amount. So sometimes they get this thing, quote unquote, called a pension max. And that's really a way that an insurance agent sells an idea that you should buy life insurance. So take the highest monthly amount. Don't leave your spouse any continued monthly income. When you die, it stops. But because you bought life insurance, your spouse will then receive the life insurance proceeds. Here's where the challenge is. Number one, when people make their pension decisions, they're usually a little older in life. So the only option for the pension max insurance tends to be term life insurance. So now you buy a term. Now the word term.
That's not good.
Right? Term means terminal, meaning it, you only pay a certain amount of years. And it, you know, as long as you're paying, you get the benefit once you stop paying. So usually, to keep costs down, people in the industry will sell a 10-year term life insurance policy. Here's the big question. What if you outlive it? Then your spouse passes away, right? The term policy's gone, and there's no income. You got to be careful about the way you understand and the actions that you take.
So as you can see, there's many moving parts. There's many decisions to make in retirement, not only how to save money, how much do I need to save, but what happens if I pass away, what decisions I make now are going to affect my spouse and my family down the road. So if you have questions, give us a call, 215-798-9088. You can certainly call and just schedule a 15-minute phone consultation. Take a look at our website, thrivefinancialservices.com. Great information there as well.
And if you take one lump sum of your pension all up front, does that have a ramification on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and all of that?
Absolutely.
Right?
Got to put all the pieces
together.
You just
have to do it right.
It's all, if you don't
do
it right, you're wrong.
That's it. That was good.
Back in a moment. And back here on Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show. If you have a question about pensions, 215-798-9088, or go to thrivefinancialservices.com.
Yeah, I thought Karen just did an awesome job just talking about pensions and the important decisions that must be made rationally to ensure that everything happens that is truly in your mind and in your heart. But I know so many times as people come in here...
It's overwhelming, Brett. I mean, if I was sitting with a pension and I had to make that decision, I'm not sure you, without the help or the ability for somebody to help you make that decision, I'm not sure you can make it and know that you're right.
Well, get ready to listen to what I'm going to share with you. So many people come in here and they're widowed. Okay, life happens. And let's say before they even met us, 5 years ago, maybe they worked for the two biggest pensions where I always see people coming in with are either from the government, so United States government, where they have a civil service or a federal pension, or for us, it's PEASERS here being here in Pennsylvania, which is our state teachers that retire. And sometimes a question comes up about the pension that, maybe let's say I was a teacher and I'm collecting my pension and I chose 100% survivorship on my pension, but yet my spouse predeceased me, but I wanted to ensure that if I passed away, that my spouse, if that was the person that was surviving, they would get my pension, okay? So here's where it stops and people don't understand that you continue, even after that life event happens, to peel back the layer of the onion, and this is it right here. People do not realize, and I'm telling you, those two pensions right there, if your beneficiary on your pension predeceases you, you actually have the ability to do a do-over. Let me say that again. If your beneficiary on your pension, I'm talking about the two biggest ones that I just said right there, you just don't sit there static and do nothing. You need to understand. You can go call the state of Pennsylvania. We can go call the United States government and say, my beneficiary predeceased me. It's a game changer again, because all of a sudden you get to do a do-over. You don't know how many people come in here and don't even understand that piece of it right now because they thought they worked with somebody before. They thought they flushed out all the decisions, or maybe you forgot. These are all things that need to be part of a review. Again, today's decisions are significant, especially before you pass away. Again, we need to understand all these different puzzle pieces because it makes such an impact for not only you, but for the beneficiaries as well.
So what you're saying on that, so if a spouse predeceases, you may have picked 100% survivor benefit, which means you sacrificed the maximum monthly income that you would have gotten. You got a lower amount to make that choice. But if the spouse predeceases, you can go back to the employer and say, my spouse predeceased. I don't want to pick survivor benefit. I now want to get the maximum amount on a monthly basis and get a pay raise. It's really important to know that you can do that.
That's the question I was going to ask, only I was going to say, could I then just elect, if that were the situation, could I then just elect to get my entire pension up front?
Again, every pension is different, so we do not want to make blanket statements, but I'm sharing with you, you actually have a do-over. Because let's say you get remarried again. You can actually go take your new spouse, who wasn't even connected to you whatsoever when you made that pension decision, and they can become your new survivor at the end of the day. Again, just all important things that we need to realize so that we can retire with peace of mind and knowing that the quality of life will continue with the loved ones, again, with the decisions that we make.
Do you think people will just maybe not realize that? And after, if the spouse if the beneficiary dies before, Just let it go? People just let it go?
Joe, I'll tell you, maybe 1% of people that I get in front of know what I just said right there. Again, and all of a sudden, their eyes open up as we're going through that discovery process. They're like, are you kidding me? Like, that happened 5 years ago. And I'm like, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Being an educator and being an advocate so that we can put as much money into your pocket versus you're keeping it with the insurance company or somebody else. So again, we got to be proactive. And that's why we continue to do what we do, which is educating ourselves. Again, today's decisions are important, especially inevitably once we pass away. So I'm going to bring up a couple topics, which we love because it follows the same theme where we talk about Social Security. Remember the past couple workshops I've done over the past couple weeks, really been talking about, and I've been talking about it today on the show here as well, about how we need to treat Social Security as an asset, not a commodity. So many of us get that piece of paper in the mail every year, a couple months before our birthday, again, after we turn 60 years old, and we just say, 62, whatever our full retirement age is, and age 70, and we get all the spreadsheeters come in here, and they do all the break-even analysis, and I say, save your time. It's about 83 to 84 years old, where if you survive past that age, it doesn't matter when you start it, that's kind of your break-even analysis. And people stop. And that's the decision that's made right there. But if you have a partner that you're enjoying life with, it can't stop there. Again, if there's no other option, there's no other beneficiary, if you've been single your whole life, I'm not going to argue too hard with that break-even analysis sheet. Again, it's not as critical. But if you're enjoying life with a partner, again, just like these decisions that Karen was talking about related to the pension, 100% survivor, all those things, here's how I want the listening audience to think about this. Realize if you're enjoying life with somebody, the greater of the two Social Securities that's being collected in the household is essentially a 100% joint life and survivorship pension. Okay, let me explain why. If let's just say John's collecting $2,000 a month from Social Security and Sally's collecting $3,000 a month from Social Security. And let's say Sally passes away first. John's Social Security goes away. John's surviving. Why does his Social Security go away? Because it's the lower of the two. So the greater of the two becomes that 100% joint life and survivorship. We need to think about that when you can't just do that simple break-even analysis. You can't just, again, you can't commoditize Social Security because of all these little nuances. Again, 567 different combinations for a couple to decide who should start to do what and on what claiming strategy to how do we maximize those benefits that are in there. And then all those 567 combinations, thousands of rules as it relates to Social Security, and then hundreds of rules about those thousands of rules. Hence, it's why the government has to create a special Social Security department because of all those rules. Yet so many of us just look at that piece of paper and simply make that decision by just what's on there. We can't. We need to understand that just like the pension. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. How many times do we get people to come in and say, I didn't know that? Whatever those decisions that are made. It's not all about just the stock, the bond, the mutual fund, the annuity. It's everything else that needs to work synergistically with all of that right there. Again, another thing we need to consider on the same vein as Social Security is Medicare. And when we start talking about Medicare surcharges, again, decisions today are significant, especially once you pass away. We talk about the topics of Medicare surcharges. Brett, what the heck is a Medicare surcharge? Please understand. depending upon your income that you show on your tax return, will dictate how much you will pay for Medicare. It's something that we call means-based testing. The more income you show on your tax return, the more it's going to cost you. Right now, 2021, the number is $176,000. Or if I'm married filing jointly and our income is greater than $176,000, you will pay more than everyone else who's paying $148.50 per month, okay? 176. However, once the first one of us passes away in the household, okay? We talked about it, the surviving spouse. What did I just share with you? We get the greater of the two benefits, right? What happens with that IRA? David said it. What's the most common thing that happens when you have IRAs and 401ks? We leave it to our spouse. So they still have to take all those required minimum distributions and all those rules still apply. But now what? Now the game changes. And if the game changes, you better understand the rules associated with the game that is changing right there. Number one, we already said this, the lower of the two Social Securities are going to go away. But here's number two. That $176,000 figure that we wouldn't pay more for Medicare all of a sudden cuts in half to $88,000. So when you hear us on the show talking about things like Roth conversions and why we need to take advantage of opportunities, and we're passionate about forward tax planning, it's because all these things that nobody wants to pay taxes, nobody wants to die, but they're certainly going to happen. We just want to continue to defer them, at least with death. Taxes, we're all about being proactive and paying those up front when we can, when it's more favorable under that joint tax code. While we can do things that are more favorable for us right now, because when the first one of us passes away and we are passionate about quality of life continuing for that surviving spouse, and again, I shared 176 gets cut down to $88,000. So whoever's surviving, not only are we going to lose a Social Security check, if we're, David shared, the biggest nation in the world is procrastination. He talked about you can't procrastinate. If we did not Roth convert, and now all of a sudden our spouse still has that same tax bomb that we're going to have to take required minimum distributions for the rest of our life, now all of a sudden we're paying higher tax rates because now you're a single taxpayer, not a joint taxpayer. And then on top of it all, here's your cherry on top. Oh yeah, you should now be able to afford more for Medicare because 176 is out of the equation. Now it's $88,000, and so many people that we see, once they become a widow, widower, they've never paid a Medicare surcharge in their life. And the first time that I'm telling you we normally see it is literally the month after the surviving spouse is pretty much passing away. And it's what we share with them. If you're hearing all those different things that we just said, the Social Security decision, you got to realize what we're talking about here, the domino effect. And it's why we can't isolate and commoditize each and every decision that we believe that we need to make in retirement. When we hit retirement, the rule book changes. Everything needs to work in harmony.
I didn't understand the break even at 83 or 84. What does that mean?
It means every year that you're deferring Social Security, it's essentially growing by 7-8%. So if I started at 62, or I started at 65, or I started at 70, you obviously will get a greater amount at each of those ages, but you're also collecting it for a shorter period of time. So if all of a sudden, if we all live to age 83, for example, if I started at 62 or age 70, you ended up collecting the same amount. So again, if you're hearing these topics that we're talking about during the segment and you're like, wow, I need to flush all this stuff out, make sure I understand it as well, give us a call at 215-798-9088, and we're more than happy to talk with you about all these different things and how it applies to you.
Back in a moment. Our final segment here on Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, along with David Bizarre, Karen Bizarre, and Brett Elam. But I do encourage you, when the show ends or at some point, 215-798-9088. Please don't be afraid to ask the question. It's okay to not know.
Yeah, and before we give you some questions to ask, I think this is going to be a good segment for you. Also, remember, go to our website at thrivefinancialservices.com and check out the upcoming events that we've got on our calendar. Educational workshops, dinner seminars, These things keep getting better and better. The reason they get better and better is we got new information, right? What we're talking about in our seminars now is completely different than what we were talking a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago, right? Things in the financial world are constantly changing. And like I said at the top of the show, I have not seen changes this significant, and then on top of it, this fast. Like, it's a whirlwind, right? So you got to get yourself educated. And I'll tell you, Joe, you know, when it's related to taxes, which I think is the big buzzword and the thing that's really on retiree minds, if you think about this for a second, this hasn't happened in a long, I don't know if it's ever happened. Let's just put it that way. We've got potentially much, much higher taxes than we've seen in the past 40 years, right? So we could be entering an environment where we're in the highest taxes that we've seen. So this is a once in a, you know, kind of lifetime for most of us that we could see this type of a tax hike. The second thing is we got runaway inflation. Like, I get blown away driving here to the office from Doylestown to Fort Washington. I look at the gas stations. I'm now starting to see stuff $4 a gallon. I looked on CNBC this morning, crude oil, $74 a barrel. You know, I remember a year ago, we were under $40 a barrel. So inflation's on runaway right now. Number three is we're making new highs in the stock market every single day. How long can that last? And if it doesn't last during your retirement, what's going to be the impact? And then the last thing, people are living longer than ever. So if you've got higher taxes, higher inflation, market conditions that may not be the way you want them, and you live longer, that's a heck of a recipe for things not to work out the way you want. You may think your plan's on autopilot right now, but you got to get in there, hunker down, and really figure out, like, get a stress test, really find out, am I going to be okay? And I don't care if you've got $500,000 or you got $5 million. Right? It's all relevant, right? It's all there. You need to do it. Now, if you're going to make a consideration about working with a financial advisor, what I would suggest is do your due diligence, right? A referral, hey, my guy's pretty good, in my opinion, ain't a good enough, that's not a good enough due diligence process. So I want to give you real quickly some questions you should be asking the financial professionals that you either are currently working with or are considering working with. And here in the city of, like, the Philadelphia metro area, there's 10,000 financial professionals. 10,000. 300,000 across the nation. That's a lot of people, right? And each, it's really amazing. You hear all the different titles, and titles necessarily don't mean a whole lot, but you hear financial planner, wealth manager, investment advisor, financial consultant, investment man. I mean, it's amazing all the, you know, the titles that get tossed around, but does that really mean anything? You got to dig in. Don't get lured. Don't get tempted just because of a title. So the first question I think you should be asking, and I really, you know, at my workshops, at our workshops, when people come in, I tell people, these are some of the questions you want to ask us, right? Number one is, are you a fiduciary? Number one, are you a fiduciary? A fiduciary financial advisor is legally required to put your interests first, legally required, okay? And if you're interested in working with a fiduciary, which I highly recommend, it's critical to make sure that they're acting as a financial fiduciary 100% of the time. What do I mean by that? Well, some people with those titles I mentioned, financial planner, wealth manager, investment advisor, so on and so forth, they're what's called duly registered. Duly registered. So by doing that, sometimes they're wearing the fiduciary hat, sometimes they're not. That was a commercial, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you feel like nuts, sometimes you don't.
That was good.
Yeah. And Karen's title, by the way, is Supreme Boss. I just want to let you know that. Supreme. You can go no higher.
Karen, that's a great position to be in.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
Yeah. So again, when a financial advisor acts as a 100% fiduciary, you don't have to wonder if they're recommending investments just to meet sales quotas. It's really important. Number two, you should ask, who do you specialize in working with and how many clients do you have? I mean, a good example is you don't go to a personal injury attorney. to get a divorce taken care of, right? There's a lot of people in our industry, I'll take any client, I'll do, well, how do you get to be great? How do you get to become an amazing resource? How do you get to be the one that's got all the education and information necessary if you're trying to please everybody, right? Ask the person you're working with, who is it that you want to work with? It's very defined here at Thrive. We've said it millions of times. We want to work with people who are in the target zone or have entered retirement, who are focused on navigating the most tax-efficient retirement income that has longevity built in. That's who we want to work with. Number three is, what is my total cost to work with you? How are you compensated? And where can I see this in writing? You got to, you got to ask that. Like, you want to know what the deal is. I mean, just because you work with a financial advisor who's 100% fiduciary doesn't mean it's easy to understand the all-in costs. I'm going to give you a quick example. Let's say you want your advisor to invest $100,000 into the S&P 500. There are two S&P mutual funds, and below I'll tell you what their expense ratios are, right? Expense ratios are what the mutual fund company charges. So if you were to use the RYDEX S&P 500, symbol RYSOX, that's not an endorsement, that's not a solicitation, just giving you an example, okay? The expense management fee on that is a 1.68%. 1.68%. So if you put $100,000 into it, that means you would spend $1,680 the year just for an expense management. If you use, it's not an endorsement, but if you were to use the Fidelity S&P, FXAIX, its expense management fee is 0.015 or $15. If your financial advisor is not spelling that out in black and white for you, that's a $1,665 difference. Does that mean anything to you? Because if that's $1 million investment, that's $16,000 a difference. I'm sure that would get your attention. Number four, what experience do you have to navigate the complex world of financial planning? Are you doing financial planning, tax planning, retirement income planning, investment management, insurance optimization, charitable giving, legacy planning, estate planning? Is your financial advisor able to help you navigate that course, that journey of life? If not, you got a question. Please provide, number five, please provide me a list of all the services you provide. We here at Thrive do that in a document. We share our scope of work with everything that we will complete for you on an annual basis. Number six, where do you keep my money and how can I see it? Here at Thrive, we have two custodians. You never give us a check. The money never comes to us. TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, two of the biggest institutional custodians out there. That's there to protect you. And number seven, what is your investment philosophy and how do you manage investments, right? They need to explain their process, why they're picking what they're picking, how often they're going to change and rebalance on your best interest. Those, I think, are some really good questions, Joe, to ask a future financial advisor or the one you're currently working with.
Well, I hope you call and you ask Thrive those questions.
We're here.
I am 100% sure that you'll be happy with the answer. That's going to do it for this edition of Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show. On behalf of David Bazaar, Karen Bazaar, and Brett Elam, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show from Thrive Financial Services. If you're like most Americans, you have more questions than you do answers about what to do with your retirement savings. If you have a question about your IRA or your 401k, pension, or other tax-deferred accounts, if you have a question about reducing taxes, generating income, or filing for Social Security, whatever it is, David, Karen, and Brett are here to help. And often your questions can be answered in a simple phone call. Just call 215-798-9088. 215-798-9088.
And so you know, no statements made during Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, shall constitute tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own legal or tax professional on any such matters. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed here. David Bizar, Brent Elam, and Karen Bizar of Thrive Financial Services and Thrive Capital Management are licensed to offer investment advisory services through Thrive Capital Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Office headquarters located in Fort Washington and offices of convenience used exclusively for client meetings in Exton, Yardley, and Cherry Hill. Roadmap to Retirement, the radio show, is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners. If you'd like to learn more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. Today's program has been pre-recorded.